Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to those sitting here in church. I know this is the first time for some of you. You're particularly welcome. And welcome to everyone joining us on the webcam. It's hard for us to imagine who's out there, but you're welcome. And welcome to anyone who just happens to listen in during the week. We begin with our opening words. The light of Christmas beckons. Christmas evokes the spectrum of emotions within us. Distraction, joy, anxiety, and loss may be some of the emotions we're feeling. Spirit of Christmas, be with us on our journey towards Christmas. Give us hope enough so we hear the song of the angels, the song of peace on earth, and goodwill towards all mankind. Our chalice lighting. Hope is not a foolish optimism. Hope is where expectation and commitment combine to work towards what we dream of. Come to us in our dreams, O God. Grant us visions of a world at peace. May the light of our chalice illuminate our vision of a peaceful world, and may we work to make that vision a reality. Let us pray. When storm wind blows and windows close, I'll keep my heart open. When hope is faint and all seems lost, I'll keep my heart open. When things go wrong and results are bad, I'll keep my heart open. When all I've hoped for fails and my world crashes around me, I'll keep my heart open. When joys taste bitter and sadness grows, I'll keep my heart open. When I am weak and despair surrounds me, I'll keep my heart open. And Lord, for your gifts of strength, joy, and love, help me to keep my heart open to appreciate them. We're now going to say together words that attempt to articulate the aims of this community. They're in the back of the hymn book on the sticker. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. Our reader this morning is Josh.
Hi, everyone. Where's my reading gone? Here's my reading. I had the usual thing that loads of people have when they suddenly find themselves on the rota of not having a clue of what to read. And yesterday, a perfect storm led me to this song, because I'm always reading songs, because I don't really read poems or much else. So it was Randy Newman's birthday yesterday, and I thought, yeah, Randy Newman, that's probably quite a good way to go. And I decided to go against political science. Let's drop the big one now, because sometimes it's misunderstood. I decided to go against short people have no reason to live, because that, you know, maybe not. And instead I went with this one. So do bear in mind that Randy Newman dwells in irony all the time and poking fun and tongue-in-cheek if you don't know his songs. But it was his birthday today, so happy birthday, Randy Newman. But the more I listened to this song yesterday, it's a song I've always loved, but it was written in 1996, so he couldn't have known anything about COVID, but it just seems really appropriate with Brexit and COVID and everything. It feels really appropriate now. It's a bit of a history lesson. It's called The Great Nations of Europe. The great nations of Europe had gathered on the shore. They'd conquered what was behind them, and now they wanted more. So they looked to the mighty ocean and took to the western seas, the great nations of Europe in the 16th century. Hide your wives and daughters, hide your groceries too, great nations of Europe coming through. The Grand Canary Islands, the first place for which they came, they slaughtered all the canaries there, which gave the land its name. There were natives there called Guanchos, Guanchos by the score, bullets, disease, the Portuguese, and they weren't there anymore. Now they're gone, they're gone, they're really gone. You've never seen anyone so gone. They're a picture in a museum. They're lines written in a book, but you won't find a live one no matter where you look. Hide your wives and daughters, hide your groceries too. Great nations of Europe coming through. Columbus sailed for India, found Salvador instead. He shook hands with some Indians, and pretty soon they were all were dead. They got TB and typhoid and athlete's foot, diphtheria and the flu. Excuse me, great nations coming through. Sorry, I can't read my own typeface. 16 point, but I can't read it anyway. Balboa found the Pacific. And on the trail one day, he met some friendly Indians whom he was told were gay. So he had them torn apart by dogs on religious grounds, they say. The great nations of Europe were quite holy in their way, but now they're gone, they're gone, they're really gone. You've never seen anyone so gone. Some bones hidden in the canyon, some paintings in a cave. There's no use trying to save them, there's nothing left to save. Hide your wives and daughters, hide your sons as well. With the great nations of Europe, you never can tell. From where you and I are standing at the end of a century, 1996, Europes have sprung up everywhere, as even I can see. But there on the horizon is a possibility some bug from out of Africa might come for you and me, destroying everything in its path from sea to shining sea, like the great nations of Europe in the 16th century.
I knew Josh was very busy today, but I forgot that we haven't had our first team. So just to say that, give Josh a chance to sit down. There's an Advent wreath on the table, and I will be talking about that later on. I probably told you before, but I hear that there's a minister in Northern Ireland who would like to have an Advent wreath in his church, but his congregation don't like candles. They're too popish. And he uses a picture of candles in an Advent wreath. This morning's story is for children of all ages, and it's called A Cage. And it's a story about an experiment that was carried out with our nearest relatives from the ape family. Scientists captured a number of monkeys, and they put them in a cage. And just to test them out, one day they put a ladder in the cage, and then at the very top of the cage, they hung a beautiful-looking banana. Didn't take the monkeys long to cop on that there was a very tasty treat at the top of the cage, and one of them was clever enough to start climbing the ladder to go up and pick the banana. The minute he had his foot on the rung of the cage, ice-cold water was doused down on the monkeys, and they hated this ice-cold water. The monkey immediately got down off the ladder and the banana stayed there. Someone else tried the same thing a day or so later. The same thing happened. Ice-cold water poured down on the poor monkeys. This went on for a few days, and then they got to the stage where they realized it's going up the ladder that causes this awful cold water to come down on us. And if anyone tried to go up the ladder, even looked at the ladder, the other monkeys dragged them away. And if they didn't come away, they began to hit them. So soon they didn't bother going near. None of the monkeys went near the ladder. Then new monkeys were introduced into the cage, one at a time, you know. And the new monkey quickly spotted the banana up at the top of the ladder, decided, gosh, that looks treat, I go up it. He was hauled off the ladder and thumped around the place. Gradually, as the older monkeys died off, new monkeys were brought in, and the same thing happened. Each time new monkey came in, they got the idea of going up to cut the banana. Very soon, everyone knew that if you went near the ladder, you got thumped by the rest of the group. And as time went on, nature took its course. The older monkeys died. The new ones were watching the ladder. If anyone went near it, they were thumped straight away. What the monkeys didn't realize was that even after the last monkey who had experienced the cold water had died, no one was allowed to touch the banana. But in all the watching they did, keeping a careful eye on the monkey, if you went near the ladder, you were going to get thumped, they never noticed two things. One, that the banana at the top was just a plastic one, it never decayed. But somebody had also opened the door of the cage, left it open, and they were so busy guarding the ladder, no one thought we could leave. We're going to have our second hymn now. For my reading, I've chosen a piece from that lovely favourite of mine, Unitarian writer Robert Fulton. It's about his mental conversations coming up to Christmas and how he feels about it. We cannot ignore the Christmas season, neither do we have to be its victim. We all have choices in how we live Christmas. We may choose to row the small boat of our life within hailing distance of others afloat on the great river of existence and shout a greeting of companionship to the people we pass by. What follows is a chronicle of my thoughts this Advent season. You may also recognize these voices in yourself. If you have similar conflicting feelings about Christmas, you're not alone. I know what I want for Christmas. I want my childhood back. I want to be 5 years old again for an hour. I want to laugh and open presents under the Christmas tree. I want to be picked up and rocked to sleep in someone's arms and be carried up to bed just one more time. You can't go back to the past, but it's okay to let your inner child accept the present of the present. It's okay now to take that child in your own arms and love the good things Christmas was and still is. I hate all this Christmas fuss, the commercial pressure, the horrible news of the way the world is, violence, death, destruction, lies, fear-mongering, corruption, greed. You are not the source of evil. You're not to blame. And you're not responsible for the woes of the world. You can turn off the radio, the TV, and not buy the newspaper. Forget the bad news. You can choose to be a small piece of good news in the world. I hate walking around town. There's somebody with their hand out everywhere I go. Homeless, poor, crippled, old, drunked up, drugged up, gimme, 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 and then I have to stop and take my wallet out. Stick to the facts. There aren't that many people asking. And if you are out there in the street, in the cold and rain, begging for help, it's not for you to judge them. They desperately need, you abundantly have. Of course, you can't repair everyone's life, but you can treat each person as a person. You can think ahead before you go out. Fill your pocket with the loose change you usually throw at the pot in your drawer. You can go out the door expecting to have the opportunity to be kind and generous. And then the chance, when it comes, you look that person in the eye, ask their name, touch them on the hand or the shoulder, and readily give them a gift from your pocket. What you offer won't seem much to you, but it will be everything to them, a moment of kindness from a stranger, the dignity that comes from here, from being seen for, as a real human being. You won't be embarrassed, but you'll be ashamed if you don't. I don't want presents, and I don't want to be part of the big phony hoo-ha with people who are faking the whole Christmas thing. I just settle for knowing I was loved and cherished by someone. You really are a blind fool sometimes. You are loved and cherished. Stop asking if you are loved by friends and family, and instead ask if you are loving them enough. Try wanting exactly what you have right now. I hate pretending everything's all right. I hate people saying Merry Christmas and having to say Merry Christmas back. Look, no harm will come to you or anybody else by acting as if you share what is only a sentiment of aspiration and goodwill. Just say, and the same to you. And know that whatever words you use, the tone you use means that you wish them well. It's not pretension, it's intention. I don't want to buy anyone a gift, and I hope nobody sticks one on me. Giving presents is a game of guilt exchange. Yes, sometimes it is. But you have gifts within you that nobody has to know about except you. Forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Let your animosity go. Be kind to anyone who comes your way. Return indifference with civility. Remember to keep a promise and forgive unfulfilled promises made to you. All the canned music filling the stores and public areas drives me crazy. If I hear, "I wish it could be Christmas every day one more time," I'll scream. No, you won't. And you can't ignore the music because that's part of your memory. You know the tunes and the words by heart, and you know how to sing. Stop thinking so much and trust your feelings for a while. Robert Fulton, words to think about leading up to Christmas. This prayer this morning is from Thich Nhat Hanh, so I want you all just to relax in the seat now and maybe close your eyes as we wish peace for ourselves and then extending it out towards other people. May I be peaceful in body and in mind. May I be free and safe from accidents. May I be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May I know how to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn how to nourish myself with joy. May I be able to live free, solid, and fresh. May I not be caught in extremes of attachment or aversion. Now we extend that prayer beyond ourselves. May you be peaceful in mind and in body. May you be free and safe from accidents. May you be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May you know how to look at yourself with the eyes of understanding and love. May you be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in yourself. May you learn how to nourish yourself with joy. May you be able to live fresh, solid, and free. May you not be caught in the extremes of attachment or aversion. We now send those feelings beyond us out into the world. May all beings be peaceful in body and in mind. May all beings be free and safe from accidents. May all beings be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May all beings know how to look after themselves with the eyes of understanding and love. May all beings be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in yourself. May all beings learn how to nourish themselves with joy. May all beings be able to live fresh, solid, and free. May all beings not be caught in the extremes of attachment or aversion. We'll now have a time of silence for personal reflection, and then it will be brought to an end by some music. The title of this morning's address is Advent is a Great Idea. The word Advent, it's like a pleasant but distant echo from the childhood world of my religious upbringing. Advent heralded the good news that Christmas was at last on the horizon. In mainstream Christian churches, this is the first day of a new liturgical year. And at this time, Christians prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. In the world of commerce, Advent is when Christmas shopping moves up several years. Theologians say this is a time of watching and waiting. And that idea of watching and waiting resonates with me. And I know that our ancient ancestors watched and waited and noticed what was happening in the world of nature. Their attentive watching gave them the knowledge that allowed them to build the tumulus at Newgrange. With pinpoint accuracy, they measured the journey of the rising sun through the seasons. Now, at the darkest days, they channeled the light of the sun so that it illuminated the deepest recesses of Newgrange. 5,000 years later, we still marvel at the honey gold rays of winter sunshine. Like our ancestors, we rejoice in the rebirth of the sun at the solstice. And Christians appropriated this motif of the rebirth of the sun by celebrating the birth of Jesus. And Christianizing this ancient festival is perfectly understandable because these celebrations emerged from people's lived experience. You know, they didn't think, what festival will we line it up with? They said, they're celebrating this, let's put a Christian twist on it. In the Roman Catholic tradition, Advent was once a time of fasting. Catholics fast as a penance. But Protestant denominations dismiss fasting as being popish. In the Protestant tradition, penance appears to question the value of salvation that Jesus earned for humanity. Yet even within the Catholic tradition now, fasting really is a thing of the past. But the ancient spiritual guides understood human nature. They appreciated the value of fasting, not as a penance for sin, but because voluntary fasting enhances life. The ancients understood, they knew, that we appreciate everything in terms of its opposite. You know, if I'm full, I can't appreciate even the finest cooking from a 4-star restaurant. But if I'm actually really physically hungry, the simplest of foods will taste wonderful. Loneliness highlights the value of companionship. Too much company makes us crave solitude. In our pursuit of instant gratification, when we ignore fasting, we ignore one of the surest paths to enhanced pleasure. And it's not easy to fast. It's, I think, making the decision is the most difficult part. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, we will eat and party. And we'll say, after all, it's Christmas. Have a mince pie. After all, it's Christmas. By the 25th of December, our senses are blunted. Our stomachs are bloated. We're like overindulged children late on Christmas evening. And instead of celebrating the festival of Christmas, the 12-day festival, we want to go to the sales and then tidy Christmas away. We're sick of Christmas by the time Christmas comes. If instead of overindulging day after the day for the next 4 weeks, we were to fast, think of how we would savor the celebration of Christmas Day and the following days. If we didn't have the mince pies and the biscuits and the chocolate bars, think of how we would look forward to having one and tasting it on Christmas Day. And that's nothing to do with penance or sin. It's just a fact. Fasting from food so that we actually feel hunger enhances our senses. And it also has the value that it brings us directly to feeling empathy with people who don't have enough choice of whether or not they even eat. This idea of it being a time of watching and waiting, if we adopted that approach, it would also quieten the noise that is part of the lead up to Christmas. Christmas shouldn't be about spending hours and hours in shops. We have made Christmas a shopping festival. And it is true, we often give gifts from habit, from year to year. And though we mean this kindly, most of the things we get or give, we do not really need. It may be a drain on our finances. Maybe we're lucky enough that we can afford them. But they also come at an enormous cost to the environment. You know, Christmas Day and the piles, especially if you have children, the piles of wrapping paper around the house. So maybe we can change our gift giving this year. Instead of going out and buying, as my mother-in-law used to say, don't give me something I have to dust. Buying something somebody has to dust, give a donation to a charity. You know, that'd be much, much better. Easier all around. If we were to replace shopping and eating with attentive observation of the world of nature, we will be rewarded because there is a beauty in winter that we totally ignore. Just now, the last leaves are hanging on the trees in a final blaze of glory. Then the trees will show off their structure, something we don't see throughout the year. We notice how the branches grow so that the tree is balanced and it grows straight. How does the tree know it needs to put a branch out here so it won't fall over? I just think that's amazing. Notice the flash of colours as birds come into the garden to feed. Notice at this time of the year how the low-lying sun casts shadows that outline the shape of the earth. At this time of the year, if you just take time to notice sunrise and sunset, Sunrise getting a bit later, sunset getting a bit earlier. And you can mark it on your wall or a window or something. And we can notice that miracle without the fear our ancestors had, because we know that in a few weeks, the days will become longer, the process will be reversed. And they're just some of nature's gifts to us at winter time. We have the Advent wreath on the table there. I was surprised to read that that tradition developed in the Lutheran Church, but it only became really popular when the Catholics took it up in the 1930s. But it was a Lutheran tradition from the 16th century. And it is a way of marking the days of waiting and watching for Christmas. And today is the first day of Hanukkah in the Jewish tradition, when they also light candles. There's another tradition we share with a different community. It shows we're all feeling the same things. The evergreen circle of the wreath represents the circle of life that is supported by the infinite love of God. And the wreath has four colored candles and one white one. And one candle is lit on the Sunday, each Sunday of the four Sundays of Advent. The white candle represents Christ, and it's lit on Christmas Day. The candles are there to represent hope, peace, joy, and love. Hope, peace, joy, and love are the things that we really, really do need for Christmas. For all the time, but particularly Christmas time. The motivation for all our frantic activity in the lead up for Christmas is that we want these things, not the presents and the things to dust, but the hope, peace, joy, and love. We can get every conceivable present at Christmas, but if those things are missing from our lives, we will feel empty. Getting a fabulous present wrapped in a beautiful box, if it doesn't come with emotion and love, we'll waste it. This morning we lit our first candle, and it's dedicated to hope. I think it's something we really, really need this year. Because living through the pandemic, seeing effects of global warming, being confronted by the misery of wars, and all of those things are beyond our control. The past almost 2 years has been something that has knocked our confidence. And I think it's happened so gradually we don't even really realize it. But we are getting nervous about going out. I know people who stay in, older people particularly. So our confidence has been knocked in the past 2 years. And the latest news, of course, is not helpful for that. Hope is not foolish optimism. Optimism is hoping it'll be all right on the night. Hope is a process. It's proactive. It involves identifying a problem and a solution, and then working to implement that solution. The moment we begin to do something to solve a problem, hope comes alive. Hope thrives when people work together. Lighting the candle of hope today is a reminder of our resilience and the fact that when we come together, we are stronger. The next candle represents peace, and we will light that next week. You know, in a world of conflict, lighting a candle of peace seems pretty ineffective, to say the least. And our candle will not make peace and stop wars in Syria, Belarus. Ukraine is hotting up again. That candle will not affect any of those situations. But over 2,000 years ago, the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu pointed out that creating peace in the world begins by creating peace within ourselves. It doesn't start from the top down, governments working out the solution. It begins with finding peace in yourself. If I am peaceful, that peace will touch the people around me. The reverse is also true. If I'm not at peace, my anger will affect other people. So we begin with peace within. Am I at peace with the people in my life? As in this morning's reading, we can forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Remember, forgiveness, the letting go of anger, is the greatest gift we can give ourselves. Anger hurts us the most. The third candle represents joy. And do we think, sometimes we forget, Christmas is a very joyful celebration. It is one time of the year when we actually seem to care about other people. It's when we give most to charity. At Christmas, we want everyone to have the minimum of a home, a warm bed, and probably a gift as well. Remember that as with peace, we need to nurture that joy in ourselves. We need to take time to look after ourselves. Self-care at the darkest time of the year is really vital for our well-being. It's another reason we light candles, because the darkness makes us think dark thoughts. And the final candle represents love. And as always, the world needs love. In a world of strife, it is love that grounds us and gives meaning to everything we do. Christmas will come. In the world of commerce, they'll put fancy lids on boxes, double the prices, and invite us to buy them. But we have the freedom to decide what our Christmas will be. Will we jump on the commercial bandwagon? Or will we look for deeper meaning in the celebrations? Will we be Scrooge or his good-natured nephew? Will we see the wonder of the solstice? Marvel and rejoice that for a few weeks, within a few weeks, just within about 23, 24 days, the sun that sustains all life on earth will be reborn. The darkest days will pass. And that's surely a reason for celebration. Our notices. Thank you for the music this morning. It was absolutely lovely. There's no offertory, but there's a donation box on the way out. And it's also possible to make a donation to the church via our website. And to anyone who does help us with a donation, thank you. There are copies of December's Usculdh magazine on the table outside. I can't believe that it's December Usculdh we're talking about. And also copies of the Inquirer as well. Please take one. Wednesday, the lunchtime meditation is on at 1:05. It's the church is open. It's also available on web camera. Thursday evening at 7:30 via Zoom, the discussion group are meeting, and we're still discussing the Bhagavad Gita. Tony will send a link for this if anyone wants to join us. You're more than welcome. And talking of Christmas shopping, when you do venture out to the shops, We'll have our Christmas tree up in a few weeks. We are accepting gifts that we bring to the Women's Aid Refuge. So you might think of gifts for them if you were buying stuff. Our blessing. May the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and most righteous we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we can give ourselves to the work of the world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astounding dance in which we live and move. Amen.